Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the greats check, too, okay? Because we'll get the punch on third and short. Even 51 greats. Even 51 greats.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast feed over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
I'd just like to tell everybody that I'm here to tell you that I'm going to play out my contract to the end of the season. That
oh, you're getting traded too?
I'm going to play out my contract to the end of the year. I want to be shown some love, but I'm going to suck it up. I'm going to take it for the team here, and I'm going to play my contract out to the end of the year.
Man.
I'm really disappointed that I haven't received a new contract. However, because for the good of the team, for the good of the organization,
straight cash, homie.
I'm gonna bypass the straight cash, homie, and I am going to play to the end of the year.
Patriots.com radio is going to be weakened because you're about to get traded. I can tell.
Wait a second. What's that, Kevin? Is that line three for me? That's Coach Belichick on line three.
You just scared me. I thought we were all getting fired.
You're inside the playbook. Bring your playbook.
Yeah, bring your playbook. That's exactly right. Well, clearly, this is no ordinary bye week in Foxborough. I got to tell you, there's so much to get to. I'm not even certain where to start, other than to tell you that in case you have not heard, the breaking news this afternoon has been the Patriots, of course, have made it official. Randy Moss has been traded to the Minnesota Vikings for a third round draft pick in 2011. Now,
well, technically, it was for undisclosed draft
but
considerations, but the reports are that
all
it's a
the
third
reports
rounder.
Are it's a third rounder, officially undisclosed. Maybe it just means that perhaps, depending upon how he finishes, maybe that pick could be better than a third. Who knows? I guess we all have problems in trying to run this around in our own heads here a little bit. I basically boil this down to two very, very simple things, Eric. And again, Eric Scalavino, PFW, here with us for opening hour of the program. Hour number two, we'll have Andy Kent, who joined us last week from Dolphins.com, but he also doubles as the AFC East beat writer for AOLFanHouse.com. And he's going to join us in hour number two to sort of give us the not only the division perspective, but the league and national perspective as well on this entire trade, because right now, I think there are a lot of people around the country, Patriots fans and non-Patriots fans alike, that are probably scratching their heads over this whole deal. And, oh, yes, by the way, even though I realize this is Wednesday because we played Monday night, today is technically Nitpick Tuesday. So does anybody have any nitpick they want to get off their chest right off the bat? I mean, come on.
I think you've got several hundred emails in
several
there.
Yeah, we got a few hundred emails here. The phone line is open. We'll get to the phones in just a second. But I wanted to basically say this about the trade. Number one, as I spoke to you guys just a couple of moments ago before we joined the program here, I'm having a hard time justifying, from a pure football sense, this move on any level. There's no way that
alone.
You can convince anybody, much less me or anybody else, and you don't have to convince me. Obviously, you only have to convince yourselves if you're Bill Belichick. Mm-hmm. You only have to convince maybe Robert Kraft. And those are really the only two people that need to be convinced here. You might have to convince Tom Brady a little bit because he came out in Randy's corner earlier this year. Again, after Randy had the diatribe following the Cincinnati game.
Yeah.
But let's just say this. This team is not as good a team today as it was yesterday. That's number one. However, the flip side to that is, and the reports are starting to come out now about the guys down the hallway here in the locker room, how they were getting more and more disenchanted, let's say, with some of the actions that were going on in and around the locker room, the field, what have you. I know that somebody, and several of you probably noticed, right before the national anthem was over on Monday night, I know you probably noticed. Did you guys talk about this at all?
I think we mentioned it early on.
Randy gathered the team around him for one of those little rah-rah sessions, yeah. But the national anthem wasn't finished,
right.
Which is obviously
a disrespect to the country.
It's a disrespectful motive,
mm-hmm.
And some players were kind of seen rolling their eyes a little bit on this thing from the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
And again, reports are coming out about that. So I'm not certain where this comes into that. But I will tell you that coupled with the reports that are out, and even Teddy Bruschi has mentioned it on ESPN television today, that some guys were getting disenchanted with Randy Moss, that there was a shouting match, let's put it that way, between Randy and Bill O'Brien in the locker room at halftime. Maybe it was predicated by the fact that Brady threw, you know, the one pass to him in the opening half that he got two hands on, but he couldn't pull in for the touchdown. And maybe he just said, hey, Randy, you got to get that. And maybe Randy lit out. I don't know. I'm not sure we'll ever know. We might know tomorrow because he is expected to speak when he is in Minnesota tomorrow. That's a possibility.
Have they scheduled something already?
Apparently. Again, it's not official, but apparently. So all I can tell you is if that's the case, that the Patriots had officially had, quote-unquote, enough of Randy's off-field antics, my only answer to that is okay, you got 12 weeks left in the regular season. The man is a Hall of Fame receiver. Manage the situation. This is what managers, this is what coaches, this is what general managers, this is what player personnel directors, this is what somebody's job should be, to manage these egos. He makes your team better whether you throw him the ball or not because of the mere threat of Randy Moss catching the ball. Now you've just made your team worse. I fail to see, just like in the Richard Seymour trade a couple of years ago, I fail to see where this makes your team better. The Seymour deal did not make the Patriots better in the short term. And it's still to be determined.
About the long term. Yep.
And I see this Randy Moss deal being similarly. And when you consider the Patriots' draft record of the last few years, including Pioli and Dimitrov and some of the others, we all have reason to be concerned over this move, especially on top of the fact that we have one of the best feel-good moments on the field with this football team in the last couple of years when they beat the crap out of Miami on Monday night.
Yeah, and now that's two big wins this season, in the immediate aftermath of which the win has been taken out of the teams and the fans' sails.
Totally.
The first one was directly a result of Moss because he had that bizarre press conference after the Cincinnati game. And now this is indirectly Moss because it's his trade. You know, he didn't have anything to do with the trade, obviously. But, the timing of these things, it's a real kick in the gut for fans, I think. And we're seeing that through comments to our blog, which we're getting traffic at astronomical numbers. And to SPFW, our inbox, to the web radio inbox, we're getting literally flooded. We can barely keep up with all of the responses that fans are giving. And the response, John, overwhelmingly, I'd say I'm putting it at unofficially about 25-1.
Against?
People are unhappy with this move.
All right. Well, first of all, let me reiterate that we're open for business here. So the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482 is the telephone number. You want to call and get it off your chest. You want to explain your two cents. You want to give your reasoning, whether you like, whether you dislike, whatever the case may be. Phone line is open. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. I know there are a ton of emails that have not been gotten to yet, but if you want to go ahead and fire off an email, please do so. And we'll get to as many of them during the course of the two-hour program as we can. I would also tell you that I've opened up my Facebook page, so if you want to friend me, John Rook on Facebook, the chat is open. If you want to post something on the wall, we'll read it here on the program as well if you have some concerns about, the current state of the New England Patriots. So let's see if we can get to that. Is our caller still there, by the way? All right, so let's see if Eldridge from North Carolina on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Eldridge?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you today? Thanks for hanging in.
I'm upset, man, to the max. Because, like you said, the opening, all that stuff about Moss antics, that's ridiculous. He makes the team a whole lot better one way or the other. Was he getting the ball? Or West getting the ball? Hernandez? Tate ain't proven him, but he's a good kickoff returner. Now you don't have the deep threat. And I know Rex Ryan and the Ravens right now are licking their chops. The Jets. Everybody just waits.
Let's
right
go
now.
To because goddamn
now,
snack.
There are a lot of people that are licking their chops.
Yeah.
The Jets are.
Baltimore's up next.
They're up next. I mean, there's no way that they fear the Patriots offense near as much now as they did yesterday.
In Indianapolis, who just lost Melvin Bullitt for the season.
They're thankful.
They're very thankful because now they have less of a threat to defend against.
Absolutely.
When they face off in November.
I got one more question for you.
Sure.
Okay, Alexa, I'm a very good Patriot fan. I've always been one since '85.
Okay.
So But my question is, okay, I saw on the PFW, somewhere down there, they was trying to get Stallworth back, but ain't Stallworth lost for the season?
PFW? I don't think we said anything about that. We talking about Dante Stallworth?
Yes, sir. It's on one. If you go to the Patriots homepage, go down to PFW, and it comes up. But they were talking to Stallworth.
Unless somebody just blogged it or whatever.
Well, we're the ones who blog.
Yeah.
And none of us put anything up about Dante Stallworth.
Okay.
Well, let me put it to you this way, Eldridge. That would shock me even more than what's happened today. Considering that, you know, Dante Stallworth.
Maybe Patriots today did something. I don't know.
You know, unless, yeah.
Our video
crew might have done something.
I don't know. I haven't seen that.
I mean, I think we could all justify this a little bit more if the Patriots were to take this third round pick, potentially. And maybe say Logan Mankins and ship him off to San Diego, you know, for Vincent Jackson. I think we could probably swallow this a little bit better. But, I mean, I'm not sure that anybody sees that in the foreseeable future, to be honest with you.
If Bill messed up, to me, he messed up. He might be the genius, and I love Bill Belichick, but he screwed up this time. Like you said, with Seymour, defense ain't never rebound from that yet. Moss, you put everything on Brady. And the running game is so-so right now. It's picking up a little bit. But it ain't worth more because you ain't played against caliber defense yet. I know you played against the Jets.
Yeah.
What the Jets did to us.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, Miami was okay, but I got to give to Woodhull and Ben Jarvis, Elvis. I didn't think Elvis was that good, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Maroney left. Maroney should have been gone 3 years ago, if you ask me.
Right.
And they got rid of Dylan. He should have left, too.
Well, I have no arguments with your complaints here, Eldridge. I think you're spot on just about everything, and thank you for the phone call. TG and NJ says, but John, don't you think they've been managing Moss for some time now? It must have gotten to a breaking point.
I think they
clearly,
have
TG, that is exactly what happened. If indeed we are to believe these reports that are coming out now about what's going on inside that locker room, off, away from the football field, if any of it's true, if what Teddy Bruschi has had to say on SportsCenter is true, if what Mike Reese is blogging about is true, if what you guys have been talking about is true, that Randy has been hard to manage, then absolutely, that's it. However, let me say this. Hall of Fame talent. That's all I'm going to say. Hall of Fame talent. You're coming off one of the most surprising wins in recent memory from Monday night in South Florida. And you're trading away Hall of Fame talent for a third round draft pick. That in and of itself is absurd. It's ludicrous. It's dumb. That's all I can tell you.
I'm very interested, John. I don't think we'll ever find this out, but I'd like to know what it was that led them to that breaking point.
I'd like to know what the straw broke the camel's back, right?
I'd not only like to know what the straw was that broke the back, I'd like to know the series of incidents leading up to that as well.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. And that may be, unfortunately, it may take us a while to glean all of that. I assume that some of it will come out over time.
Maybe.
It could happen as early as tomorrow if Randy Moss, once he arrives in Minnesota and he has a, you know.
Well, that's one side of it, though.
Well, but you're going to get his side of it.
Yeah.
And then we all know that the Patriots have always long played their cards close to the vest. They won't respond to any disparaging remarks that Moss might even say tomorrow when he meets the Minnesota media again, because it's his second tour of duty in Minnesota.
Yep.
And talk about, you know, going to a place where you never thought he'd be back. I mean, the only thing more crazy than him going back to Minnesota would be him going back to Oakland, probably.
Oh, God.
You know? But the fact is that, you know, Minnesota has a need. Brett Favre has been, you know, he cried for Randy Moss when he was still in Green Bay.
Yeah.
And obviously now,
It's a different Vikings team that he's going to.
It's a different Vikings team he's going to than the one he left.
Exactly.
And they need Randy Moss because they're 1-2 and they're already almost two games behind. They're actually two games behind in the win column already within the division.
John, Halloween just got a lot scarier this year.
Didn't Halloween get a little bit juicier, though? I mean, talk about trick or treat. Holy moly.
Be a lot of tricks. I don't know if there'll be too much treats.
Can you imagine our defensive backs trying to guard Randy Moss?
No.
Defend Randy Moss?
No.
Oh, my Lord of mercy. That day will be just off the hook.
Randy Moss is going to make Brett Favre look really good.
Derek from the University of Arizona is on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Derek.
Hey, John. Hey, Eric. How you guys doing?
What's up, Derek?
Hey, I know I called in about the Moss trade, but first just wanted to clear the air about something. John, I did. Was just trying to give you a hard time last week. Wasn't like, you know, about the whole saying something stupid thing. I was just kind of messing around. But
I'm okay. You have every right to say whatever you want to say. If I started, censoring, emailers and phone callers and texters and bloggers, I wouldn't have much of a show.
And guest host.
Sucky, sucky.
Yeah. So,
all right, well,
yeah,
I'm
host too. That's right. That's exactly right.
Everyone knows what the big news is today. And Eric, by the way, I've called in the show on PFW, and you weren't there, so nice to meet you. But
thanks for calling in.
So I think this team obviously makes it a lesser team by far. I think I understand how you kind of want to build the future with these draft picks, but I mean, how much is too many? I mean, now we have two firsts, two seconds, two thirds, two fourths. Mm.
Derek, my problem isn't so much that we've accumulated the picks. It's how we've used the picks.
I agree.
That's my greater point. You know, you stockpile all these picks thinking that if there's a blue chip talent out there, you're going to use those picks to trade up to get and fill needs.
Right. Absolutely.
Instead of trading down, accumulating more picks, and getting a bunch of so-so mediocre players, right, many of which end up getting cut.
Yep, and what I was going to say was, I mean, unless you're going to use this third rounder to, I mean, right now we have two firsts unless we trade down, which is obviously a great possibility with Bill Belichick. Ugh. I mean, do you go after?
We'll have a riot in Boston.
Yeah,
that
I can't see them doing that.
We'll have fans riot at the draft party.
They're close
to rioting now. If they trade down those picks,
now. I'm close to flying out from my school and heading out to the office right now. But I'm keeping off the ledge as much as I can, keeping the sharp objects away. But, I mean, unless you're going to go ahead and pick, like, a Robert Quinn, who's one of those more elite-type pass rushers this year, going after a guy like A.J. Green, a running back like Mark Ingram, those are three high-profile picks at top needs for this team right now. And to me, the Randy Moss trade, I understand that he might not be past, like, he might not be with the team past this year. I think that he just gives you a bigger hole to fill now. And what happens to the offense, a number one offense, when you have four slot receivers in a mediocre running game?
Yeah, it's going to be, you're going to see a completely different look to this Patriots offense in the final 12 games. I don't know if that's going to be good or bad, but I have a bad feeling that it's not going to be good.
It's too bad because I think Monday night's game was fantastic.
Sure it was.
And I don't want to overreact and say the defense has found itself.
Right, because they haven't.
It's great to see. I think the team and the fans and the players and the coaches, everyone needed to get that monkey off their back. And instead of celebrating a solid win on the road, against a division rival on a Monday night, going into a bye week, now we're talking about how the team is going to be changing for the season. And to me, it's really just disappointing and frustrating.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. Clearly something happened to push this thing forward. And again, as the reports are talking about, there was a heated exchange potentially in the locker room at halftime between Moss and Bill O'Brien, and maybe that was the straw that broke the camel's back. We don't know.
The disrespecting of the anthem before the game.
I mean, we don't know with 100% certainty that any individual move caused this to happen. Most likely it was a compilation of a lot of different things that happened. But again, my whole point, Derek, is okay, maybe they just got tired of managing the situation. Maybe they felt like managing the situation had gone about as far as it can. My answer to that is Hall of Fame talent. I don't care how bad a guy is, Hall of Fame talent. If you don't get something in return for Hall of Fame talent, then you're doing a disservice in the short term and the long term. And the spin on this is, well, we helped ourselves in the short term and the long term. And I say baloney. Mm. You've damaged yourself in the short term and the long term. Short term because, well, Randy Moss isn't going to be around to throw to, nor is he going to be around to stretch a defense. Long term because you're not getting value. And so the next time, if by some chance there's a next time, the next time you have to trade a guy because he's being an ass, well, teams are going to hold out.
Yeah.
They're going to hold out on you.
Right.
They're going to say, well, you need to get rid of him. You set this precedent when you dealt Randy Moss away for a third rounder. We're not giving you any better than a third.
I mean, come on. You're killing yourself. You're cutting off the nose despite the face of the franchise.
I know.
The ironic thing is that when the trade rumors first started last night, when Bill Simmons actually tweeted something out on accident, because that's how, you know, the rumor kind of started, because he was supposed to send a message, and he accidentally tweeted something out to the public, you know, and then it just, you know, spread like wildfire. People were throwing out names like, oh, well, are they going to get Jared Allen? Are they going to trade for, you know, Sidney Rice? Are we getting a first-round draft pick?
I don't see any of these deals happening.
No.
I just don't.
I know. I'm saying we end up getting a third-round pick in return.
I
thought the worst-case scenario, we're getting a second, and I was pissed about that we were trading him at all.
Me too.
And we end up getting a third. I mean,
actually,
that's just undervalued to the max.
I'll tell you what, Derek. I actually, when I first heard the deal and I heard the word trade, my first reaction was, wow, I wonder if they got a one, because if they got a one, I'm liking this deal. You know, similar to Seymour.
Mm.
I mean, because they got a one for Seymour. But when I heard it was a third, I had to contain myself. I really did. Because the fan in me said, you know, what are we doing?
Yeah, when I heard the third part, I thought, well, there's got to be a player involved too. You know, a Kevin Williams or... You know, I think Jared Allen would have been too much to ask, but you know, another player from the Vikings with the third round pick. That was my initial thought, was that, okay, we're waiting to hear who the player is.
Yeah.
And there was no other player forthcoming. I agree with you, John. It's Fred brought up the point on PFW in Progress. Maybe they were so just fed up that they were willing to take anything to get rid of him.
But
I think you said that sets a bad precedent, because now the next time you're in a situation like that, teams are going to say,
it's an impetuous move. I realize that we're not a part of it. We're not in the hallway. We're not a part of the day-to-day dealings in the confines of the locker room, all right? But then again, we can't be, because no one lets us in.
Yeah.
So the Patriots, in this instance, are a victim of their own silence and a victim of their own lack of public relations, you know, when it comes to speaking frankly and forthright about some of these moves. They say they make the moves because, well, it's within my right to make that move. That's great. Then you open yourself up to all of this crap that's being thrown at you right now.
Right.
John, what does it say to the guys, the 53 guys, or 52 now, that are in that locker room, that are here thinking they want to win this year?
See, that's another concern.
Yeah.
Because last year, that was a huge point with the Seymour thing.
You said this. Ron Borges was quoted right now on BostonHerald.com. Bill Belichick always loves to talk about having to get better. Today he got worse, or at least his team did, which is really the same thing. His quote is, take away the Patriots from Bill Belichick, and what is he? A gym teacher with better jewelry, no disrespect to gym teachers intended. So how does he sell this latest fire sale to his players?
Mm.
Good luck.
Not just his players, but his co-captains, three of whom, I'd almost actually have to say all four of whom, were very good friends of Moss. Tom Brady,
they got
along thick as thieves. Vince Wilfork, Kevin Falk, and even young Gerard Mayo, spoke glowingly since his rookie year about how Randy Moss took him under his wing and made him feel welcome. All four of your captains now were very close to this guy.
So it's like, how do you expect them all to sell out now and believe in themselves and believe that they can actually be productive?
It's a tough sell. It's a tough sell.
It's tough.
It's a tough sell.
Donald has sent this message on Facebook. A third pick is what's pissing me off, let alone the trade, but a third round pick, WTF. Now I would love to see the Pats get Vincent Jackson. That would make this deal worth it, and I would shut up. He goes on to say, the Pats are crazy, John. They do this every time. Who's going to stretch the field? And I wonder what Brady's reaction is. Not alone our defense at one good game. Man, what a long season this is turning out to be.
I'm having sort of flashbacks, John, to 2006 when we tried to make do with less than mediocre wide receivers. And, yeah, the team still made it as far as the AFC title game that year. But Brady was ticked, if you recall, which is why that following offseason, they went out and got Moss and Welker and Dante Stallworth and Kelly Washington and Kyle Brady and Sammy Morris, made all these high-profile moves to improve the offense. Now we're going, it seems, almost back to that, at least for the short term. And I can't imagine that Tom Brady is thrilled about this move.
via Facebook, Jim Reynolds. If the Vikings lose Moss as an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season, do they get a third-round compensatory pick? This is a good question. If so,
no.
This is a genius move by the Vikes, as it really cost them nothing save the fact that the pick would be in 2012.
No, I'll explain. We talked a little bit about this at the top of the last show. The NFL has a very complicated formula for deciding how to allot compensatory picks based on free agents lost. Okay.
Yep.
It's really difficult. Not most of us don't know the exact formula because it really is so convoluted that you really have to be an expert and actually work in the league to understand it or to know what it is, because we don't even have the complete formula itself. What we do know, though, is that players who reach their 10th year or greater of accrued seasons in the league can be placed with no greater than a fifth round pick as compensation. So if you reach the 10-year mark of your career,
which Moss is,
your value in compensatory picks automatically drops from three at best to five.
So in effect, the Patriots are guarding themselves against Moss being in UFA.
Yes, if they had kept Moss the rest of the season and he left the Patriots via free agency in 2011,
then they would have gotten nothing.
Better than a five. So looking at that long term. And that five would not have come until the 2012 draft, not
correct,
the 2011 draft.
So you're getting two rounds better and a year earlier.
So I think that's part of the long-term thinking of making the trade now. But it just brings up all these other questions about what it does to team chemistry, what it does to the dynamic of the offense.
Okay, that does explain a little. I will tell you that now that I've considered that, because I wasn't sure either, which is why I'm glad we had the question asked. And I had it written down in my notes here, one of the things to ask, and I'm glad we got to it. So one of our fans, right on top of it here. That does explain some things. What it doesn't explain is what you tell the other, 52 players in the locker room down the hallway who, after Monday night, thought that they had a chance to still do something special with this season.
And win the division.
They
may still believe in themselves. Because as a player, you have to have confidence, and you have to think that every time you step out on the field, you're good enough to match up against the guys on the other side. So from a personal perspective, if I were a player, I would still have confidence in my ability to do my job and help my team win. The message I think it sends just overall is,
it's almost hard to verbalize.
It really is hard to verbalize. You want to have faith in yourself as an individual.
Yeah.
But as a team, I think you look at it and you say, what do you have to do? What do you have to do to stay in this team? Seymour gets traded. Samuel lets go in free agency. Ty Law gets let go.
This also begs another question here. Why the hell haven't they traded Logan Mankins? Here's a guy that basically called Robert Kraft a liar. Liar!
Not basically.
He did.
He called him that.
And he's still with the team.
They still own his rights.
Why is he not gone?
It's a good question. There still are about 10 days left, a little less than 2 weeks left until the trade deadline. So something could still happen.
I gotta be thinking the track record now is so strong, it's like it's staring you right in the face that a deal is being worked on for Logan Mankins. Has to be.
Yeah. Well, the clock's ticking. The clock is ticking.
But I mean, you're telling me now that we couldn't get a third or a fourth round pick for Logan Mankins based on the track record now?
Well, Logan Mankins at this point is not at the Hall of Fame level that Randy Moss is.
No.
And if you're only getting a third
he is
an All Pro and he's younger. But if you're only getting a third for Randy Moss right now, if you're only willing to accept a third for Randy Moss,
what are your teams
going to give you for now?
You're not going to get anything.
Yeah.
You're not going to get anything of substance. That's true. John in Dallas on the Ace Ticket Hotline. John, welcome.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, John.
Good. Hey.
Two shows in a row. I'm sick of talking to you today.
Yeah, well, stop.
I'm just kidding. John.
Too,
I'm just kidding.
Just joking. So, yeah, John, you made an interesting comment. I mean, I think you said something to the effect that you should never trade a Hall of Fame player. Something like that.
I'm just shocked that they would trade a Hall of Fame player because it hasn't been done in season in 23 years. So I would think that track record would say, in fact, a lot of other people around the NFL would say, yeah, that's pretty strange.
Yeah, I mean, I think it does seem strange. But, if any of the reports are true where he's got into altercations or whatever, but if he's causing any disruption in the locker room, has any influence on the younger players, I think it's the right move. It has to be. Football is still the greatest team sport. And although he's a valuable piece of the puzzle, I think he's not. I mean, if he's a bad influence on younger players, he's got to be removed.
But, John, I would ask you then, okay, that's fine. Yeah, and you know what? Again, I've allowed for the fact that they clearly had arrived at the decision you're talking about. But then why does it always seem like, you know, once you look like you might be turning the corner on your season, why does it seem like they're always ready to mortgage the immediate future? When the hell is, you know, they're saying, oh, we're thinking about tomorrow, we're thinking about tomorrow. When the hell is tomorrow? Get here. Because we said the same thing 2 years ago when they ditched Seymour. When the hell does tomorrow get here?
And when they ditch all their draft picks every year.
Yeah.
It has anything to do with the draft pick. I really don't. You know, whether it was a third, I just think they wanted to get rid of him. This is the right.
But again, for what? Mm. For what?
Right. To what end?
To what end?
To what end?
You keep mortgaging the present for the future. Well, when the hell does the future get here?
Yeah. When does the present matter?
Yeah. When does now matter? When does winning now? When does winning in 2 weeks when Baltimore comes in? When does that start mattering? You're always looking at the bigger picture. I can appreciate that. How about now? I think we can almost conclusively, almost all of us can come to the agreement. They mortgaged the future. They mortgaged a potential Super Bowl championship a couple of years ago when they did Seymour. They had the makings.
I agree on the Seymour comment. I don't agree on the Randy Moss comment, and I'll tell you why. Because the future is now. You have a younger group of players with fragile psyches, right? So they're building their confidence. They're learning the game. And if you have a guy in there that's not helping that, right? Then you've got to look out for your future now by letting him go. And if you get a third, you get a third. Big deal. does it hurt us? Absolutely hurts us. But, you know, I think one of the reasons why he did this was because he's thinking about the future now. I think this team can still win games, period. I really do. You know,
can they win playoff games?
Well,
that's all I care about. That's all I care about right now. Playoff games.
I
don't see how they score enough points to win games.
I don't
with this
either.
Defense.
I don't see how they win enough games. A to get to the playoffs, and B when they get there to win those games.
I think it's going to come down to how well the defense improves over the next 2/3 of the season.
Let's not kid ourselves, John. They improved a slight amount Monday. Not a great amount, because a lot of those mistakes were because Miami, number one, was forced to come from behind because of the whirlwind of special teams activity that went against them. You know, the Patriots' defense is still soft.
You know,
they
John,
still can't rush the passer.
You know, there's one thing I hate. I hate when people say, and I've seen this on several message boards, I hate when people say the Dolphins lost the game, the Patriots didn't win it. That's BS. The Patriots won that game.
I didn't say that. I didn't say that. What I said was the Patriots' defense
had to play a certain way because they were playing from behind. Big deal. They got themselves into that hole.
Well, yeah, I don't disagree with that. I'm just saying that, you know, based on football ability, we saw a little improvement. I think that's great. We saw great improvement in the special teams. Kudos. Absolute 110% kudos to Pat Chung. Rob Ninkovich, who had a great game, is an outstanding game. They made strides, but it's still soft. There's still a lot of improvement that needs to go before you can call this a playoff caliber defense.
Yep.
Long way to go.
You're exactly right, but the hallmark of Bill Belichick teams is they get progressively better as the season goes on.
That wasn't the case last year.
Nope, they got worse.
They got worse.
Yeah, but you just didn't have the personnel last year.
They still don't have the
personnel. They don't have the personnel now. So what makes you think they're going to get appreciably better? If you use last year as a barometer, like you just said, what makes you think they're going to get better?
I would argue that they have better.
It is what it is.
Year.
You'd argue what?
They had better personnel this year.
Like who?
We're much deeper.
Like who? Name them.
We're much deeper. Okay, let's start on offense.
We're talking about the defense. We're talking about the defense.
Okay,
name the improvements on defense.
Okay, so you have all your first-year players from last year who are now in their second year.
How are those improvements? One of them is on the bench, Darius Butler.
Okay, I'm not worried so much about him.
Oh, well, so name the improvements on defense.
Back into the lineup come the last third of the season.
I just want you, John, to name the improvements on defense.
Chung, huge improvement.
Over
first year.
Yeah,
I'm
but
not
it's,
just looking at
okay.
talent. I'm looking at first year versus second year.
Okay, but is he an improvement over the starting safeties from last year?
How is Brandon Merriweather improved?
He hasn't at all. He's regressed.
He's on the bench.
Mm-hmm. So right. Chung is, yeah, but Chung, okay. So
I'll give you Chung. No, I'll give you Chung.
By the way,
I will give you Chung.
Chung got beat on that touchdown pass that got thrown, too. That was a bad play.
He did.
But
I'm willing to give you Chung.
That's going
to
happen.
Who else?
That's going to happen.
Who else?
Mayo's having a better year than he did last year. I think.
I'd say it's a push.
Yeah.
I think he's coming back to first year form. Right?
Agreed. Yeah, but first year form wasn't great. First year form was making a lot of tackles. I don't see him making a lot of big plays. He had an interception that he dropped against Miami. He hasn't had a sack. The only sack he has was an accidental sack, which was, I think, Tully Bantakane actually brought the quarterback down. So I haven't seen any improvement in him. He's a push. Who else? If it's taken you that long, then my point is they haven't made that many improvements on defense.
No, no. I think they've made. I think it's going to take time. The defense is just going to be a work.
Don't have a lot of time.
I understand, John.
I don't have a whole lot of time, though.
I totally and completely understand your point of view. You're trying to spin positive on this, as most Patriots fans want to try to
denial.
Do.
Denial.
I get. No, it's okay. He perfectly is within his
he's
right.
Trying. Okay. No, he's trying. No, he's trying. And I give him credit for
he's
that.
He's trying to take a difficult stance right
he
now.
He really is. No, he is. He's one of the few.
That's trying
who's trying to put a positive spin
he's
on
trying
this.
To put
I'll
the
give
spin
John
on,
credit for that.
John's trying to put the spin on it that we know they want to put the spin on down the hallway.
Oh, of course.
It's the same spin that we're going to hear from Belichick, and we're going to hear from the players tomorrow, and it's the same spin.
And there's a distinction we need to make, which we brought up in the last show, too. There's a difference between cheering for your team and having faith in your team.
Right.
A lot of fans will still cheer for this team.
Right.
But a lot of fans are losing faith in the team,
right,
in their ability to get the job done.
That's right.
John seems to be in both camps. He's trying to root for the team and have faith, which I applaud him for, but I just wanted to point out a little reality for him.
The entire mantra of "In Bill We Trust" is fading.
Oh, the cracks started a while ago, John.
But it's clearly
they're getting bigger now.
It's clearly fading. It's clearly
Wearing thin.
It's wearing thin. Mary Beth chats on Facebook. Okay, as a Pats fan, we can rant and rave and stamp our feet, but Belichick and Patriot management must do what they see fit and what they believe will benefit the team. Moss was a cancer on other teams. Did you see that look in his face on the sidelines close to the end of the game? That is the only thing that would make sense to me. I guess I didn't see really anything definitive other than the fact that the announcers were talking about him being catchless for the first time since 2006. Obviously his first time in a Patriots uniform, but there was a reason behind.
I can't speak that language, buddy, but just tell him we said what's up, man, and we appreciate the support.
There was a reason behind his being catchless, okay? The game plan was, Miami double-teamed him just about everywhere he went on the field on Monday night. So his job was to draw attention away from Welker, who had 8 catches, from Aaron Hernandez, from Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, from the other people who made a difference. And obviously the Patriots' special teams won the game on Monday night.
Yep.
So Randy really wasn't in the game plan. Now that might have also, conceivably, possibly, had something to do with the alleged halftime rant that went on between himself, Randy, and Bill O'Brien. Again, that's the reported halftime rant that went on and the argument that went on between the two.
Mm-hmm.
If that happened, maybe the fact that he was only thrown to once and it went off his hands and someone might have given him the business about it, and then he went off. And then, of course, he wasn't thrown to. Was he thrown to in the second half? No.
That was the one
that was
time
the one.
He was thrown to all
that was
game.
The one.
The one target.
But I would argue that it doesn't seem to me that he was a part of the game plan at all. That his part of the game plan was decoy one.
That is being part of the game plan.
Yes, but in terms of catching a ball, he was not a part of the game plan.
Right. He wasn't a target in the game plan.
Maybe that was also a part of it. We can only surmise this. We can only guess this. It's all conjecture because we weren't a part of the locker room. Nobody is.
But now defenses are going to be able to double team whom they wish.
Yes.
And I would assume that the first person they're going to try to double team
will be Wes
Welker and say, okay, let unproven Brandon Tate, second year receiver, try to beat us. Let rookie Aaron Hernandez and Rob Gronkowski try to beat us.
Right.
Let Julian Edelman, second year wide receiver, try to beat us. Let rookie Taylor Price, who hasn't been active yet, try to beat us.
Yeah. There you go.
I
force Ben Jarvis Green Ellis to run it down our throats.
I know. Alan says on Facebook, John, I agree with this trade because it was clear that Bill Belichick just didn't want to put up with Randy Moss anymore. Okay, he's a Hall of Fame wide receiver, but he was a drama queen. I looked at his face after the game, didn't see a guy who was pumped up with a big win, but instead I saw a guy who was annoyed to have zero catches. He's not a team player. He's a me player. We still have a pretty good O. We got West, Tate, Edelman, Gronk, H-bomb. We are still a pretty good team, but the question will still be, what will the O be like without the deep threat, and will Tate, who I believe is faster than Moss, be that deep threat? I will be going to the Vikings game on Halloween as part of the UK Patriots. I was really looking forward to that game, but now it is a whole lot bigger. Can't really argue with anything there, other than the fact that, yeah, Tate will be the deep threat, but the Tate is unproven.
But he's also, here's another thing you need to consider about Tate. Tate was a proven weapon on special teams.
Right.
He's returned three kicks this season, including preseason, for touchdowns.
Right.
That was...
Kevin. That's going out over the air. There you go.
There
we go. Thank you.
As I was saying, he was a proven threat as a kick returner. Your number one receiver isn't normally your number one kickoff return guy. So one part is going to suffer. Either the offense is going to suffer... because Tate won't get as many touches because he has to be the kick returner, or your kick return game, which was a legitimate threat now, is going to suffer because he's not going to be able to do both jobs, I don't think, as effectively.
Stripper says, Moss in four games, nine catches, leads the league with five drops, and the Pats still have the highest scoring offense in the NFL.
But a lot of that scoring came from defense and
special teams. So, you know, hey, if you can tell me, strippers, and anybody else is thinking these ways, if you can tell me that the special teams is good for one touchdown a week, I'll take that right now, and I'll shut up this argument.
Yeah.
If you can tell me that the special teams can give me one score a week for the rest of the season, fine, I'll shut up.
They're doing it, it seems like, one every other week, but
because really, that's what Moss is bringing you. He has the potential to bring you a score a week.
Yeah.
If not by decoy,
right.
By catching the ball outright.
50-some touchdowns in 52 games as a Patriot? That's a touchdown a game.
That's a touchdown a game. So if you're telling me over the next 12 weeks that the special teams can come up with 12 more touchdowns, fine, I'll buy that argument.
Yeah, but how many more points are the offense going to put up?
Well, that's part of it, right? It's part of, I mean, it's just, you have to enter these things in question. Just, 1 + 1 doesn't necessarily equal 2 in this instance. Let me get to, I just had another... Yikes. Okay, here we go. This one's from Marcos on Facebook. John, there has to be have to have been something awfully wrong at halftime between Moss and O'Brien for BB to finally lose it with Moss. Somehow I see that trading away a guy with his issues sets a nice precedent for our young players moving forward. If you're going to establish a team-first philosophy, you have to back it up in front of your guys when it gets tough. I'll miss his production, sure, but it's not a crazy call by Bill. Okay.
These are all valid points.
Valid points.
But as you and I were talking earlier, John, what does that do for this year? Let's also keep in mind that we might not have football next year. So if you don't get to the playoffs or if you lose in the playoffs this year, you're mortgaging for 2012.
Mortgage is the future. That's all it does. Mike from Florida. Mike from Florida on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Mike, welcome.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, buddy.
What's up, Mike?
Good. I'm enjoying the show so far. I have to agree a lot with those emailers, actually. I mean, I think we've just gotten too spoiled as Patriots fans, and I understand the thought process you have as far as, you know, we have to win now. However, well, we're only 2 years removed from being in the Super Bowl. Granted, we did lose the Super Bowl, but like I said, I think we're just getting too spoiled. And when we came out of the tunnel 2001, that Super Bowl, we came out as a team, and I totally understand where they're going with that philosophy. And if they want to be true to their word as being team first, I think the second that somebody feels that, hey, I wasn't involved in the offense and I'm disappointed, I think they need to go regardless of who they are. I don't, you know, even if I'd never see Tom Brady doing that. However, if he did do that, say, hey, you know, we won the game, but in effect, I wasn't involved in the offense, you know, time for him to go too. I totally see that.
I don't know. It's a tough sell, Mike. It's a tough sell. I just remember how unhappy Tom Brady was in 06 when he didn't have anybody to throw to.
And now you're taking
and
away.
And then they went out and made him happy in 07, and look what happened. They broke all kinds of NFL records.
Maybe they do have a plan. Maybe we're stockpiling these draft picks.
He's getting old.
Get somebody like,
he doesn't have much time.
He doesn't really have.
As much as he wants to say, I'm going to play 10 more years, he's
running
out of time.
Clock is ticking on his career. And once again, I said this when they traded Seymour. I'm going to say it today again, now that they've traded Randy Moss. Time is running out on the ability to capitalize on one of the best quarterbacks that has ever played the game.
And the quarterback coach window is closing as well.
It's just, you know, I don't know how else we can put this, folks. I really don't. You had a chance to win, you know, you have 3 Super Bowls. That's great. Is that enough for you?
Well, okay, with our defense that we have right now, I think we've all come to the conclusion that it's probably not a good enough defense to win the Super Bowl. So what's losing a Randy Moss this year going to do anyhow?
It weakens your strength, which was your offense. You had the potential to score more points than other teams.
Hey, all you want to do is get into the tournament, okay? This weakens their chance
of
getting into the postseason. By the way, I've seen several bloggers already today say that the Patriots' chances now of reaching the playoffs, much less winning the division, have been lowered automatically by 10 to 11% today.
Naturally.
Because of this trade. So you've got that much less of a chance to make the postseason.
Are these the same experts that also chose the Patriots to lose last game like everybody across the board did? I mean, how much did these experts know regardless of that anyhow?
Last game was an aberration. An unexpected windfall of good luck from all kinds of unexpected contributors. If you're going to expect that to happen every week, you're kidding yourself.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I'm one of those fans, even though I'm a diehard fan, I've almost written off this season. But you know what? Again, if I don't want a cancer in the locker room, regardless of who it is, whether he's the best player on the team or not. And I think he was starting to become a cancer. You could see that from the last few weeks. And, you know, I'll agree, you know, we're not a better team without him. I think everybody agrees that. But having said that, I think if we're going to stick to the Patriots' philosophy of team first, which I think they have this last 10 years, he's got to go.
Fair enough, Mike. Fair enough. I guess it really boils down to the question we should be asking today in Bill, do you still trust? I mean, honestly, it's boiling down to that very simple question today. Do you still trust Bill Belichick to make the right moves for this franchise? Past, that's out of the way. Present and future. Do you? I don't know. I've said all along I thought that the emperor wasn't wearing any new clothes, and I still don't think he is. Adam sends on Facebook, I think the trade shows how confident Brady and Bill are. Well, maybe just Bill. But Brady and Bill are, he says, with the tight ends, and that can only be a good thing.
I don't buy into this philosophy that Brady had anything to do with this. I don't believe they went to Tom Brady and said, hey, do you think we should trade Randy Moss? I don't think they got his input at all. I think maybe when they decided to pull the trigger, they may have gone and told him because they know about his relationship with Randy and, you know, how integral a part of the offense Moss was. But I don't buy for a second that they're going to Brady and asking his opinion on what they should do with personnel moves.
No. I don't buy that for a minute either. I really don't. I don't think they ever have.
No, I don't think they've done that with any players.
I think the only time they've ever even considered it was a point that you just brought up a couple of moments ago, back after 06, where he was disgusted the fact he didn't have anybody to throw to. They went out and they go get Randy Moss and look at the numbers they turn in 07. You know, but do I think that they really went to Tom and said, well, Tom, why are you upset? No. I think they probably realized that that's something that they needed to do for the overall betterment of the team, and they went out and they got a Hall of Fame receiver.
Yeah, they talked to their players, you know, to get feedback, information, that kind of thing, get a general sense of what the team is thinking individually and as a whole. But I don't think they don't go to them and ask them for their specific opinion on personnel moves.
Right.
They could tell by talking with Brady after 06 that he wasn't happy with the offense in general. They didn't go to him and say, who should we get? I don't buy that for a minute.
All right. Brooklyn Matt is on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Brooklyn Matt, what's up, kid?
Hi, John. Hi, Eric. How are you guys?
What's up, Brooklyn Matt?
All right. I'm glad to get through. The deal with Randy Moss is he doesn't want to be the stretch the field guy. You know, we hear him crying in the press conference after Cincinnati. I mean, the guy, his clock is ticking. He's getting older. He's running deep and he's seeing everybody else get the ball and make, you know, productive plays and everything, and they blow out Miami and everything, and the truth is he's pretty much an afterthought. Everybody else is getting the kudos, and then at the end, everybody remembers to say, oh, and this is all made possible by Randy Moss stretching the field. Well, that's not good enough of a role for Randy Moss right now. You don't do that, like you said, John, to a Hall of Fame wide receiver. Randy Moss is thinking about Randy Moss. And he's thinking about, you know, all the other prima donnas in the league. Wide receivers are probably all snickering at me. Because look at what I have to do. No, those other guys have to do that to the extent that I'm doing. And Bill Belichick, and of course Moss is going to go off to the offensive coordinator at halftime in Miami. And it's like, well, you know, geez. And, you know, the thing with Bill Belichick and the draft picks is, I mentioned this like last year, Bill Belichick likes to be the kid with the most marbles. Like the most marbles. I have the most draft picks. Mm-hmm. I have more draft picks than you guys. That, you know, that's the way he is. He's like a little kid. It's like, look at all I have. And it's like, the game plan now, part of it, tell me if I'm wrong about this, is they want to highlight how Bill was so right with all his new toys that he got in the draft.
Yeah. No, I don't really have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with that. The problem with the compiling the draft picks is based on, you know, recent draft history, they haven't done a very good job with it.
I
don't have any confidence in, you know, well, it's great that they've got two in each of the first four rounds.
Yeah. Use them to trade up.
Yeah.
Make blue chip picks.
You want to impress me?
Yeah.
Let's take a two, a three, and a four and trade up for another one.
Mm.
You want to impress me? Trade both of your twos for another one.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want.
Yep.
Let's see you go up. Now, if you can pull something like that off, okay, I'll be impressed. Because three ones, that's almost unprecedented.
Target specific areas of need. Trade up to get the best players at those positions in the draft.
I think it's pretty clear. It's pretty clear we know what the areas of need are on this team. And now wide receiver has just become one.
Yeah.
In theory.
No, not in theory. In actuality.
And certainly, you got to have somebody stretch the field. Now, I know that a lot of people think that, you know, a guy like Tate may be a type of guy that can do that, but he hasn't done it yet till he has a chance to do it. Maybe this is part of that process. I don't know. I'll be happy to go, you know, to eat my words on that one if he can show that before the end of this year. But I'd say here's a guy that basically is a rookie.
I liked him in his role. He was a supporting character
and
in
a great
passing offense
and
a great
special
teams threat.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, two returns for a touchdown. Now that if he's going to have to start at wideout, that's going to limit, if not take away his effectiveness entirely.
And from the coaching staff that always preaches, do your job, just worry about your job. Mm. Now all these guys are going
to
have a lot more
to do.
Added on
a lot
to
more to
point.
Do.
Yeah. You know, that's a great point, Kevin. Here's a coaching staff that has always said, do your job. And now they're asking everybody on this team to do a little bit more.
And to, you know.
And help, we'll see if they can handle it. We'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they can handle it.
Maybe they can. If they can, then you know
then
what?
Great. Then great. Then it's
another,
a wise move.
Let's just say, let's get through this October gauntlet, all right? Let's get through October. If we can get by the Minnesota game and this team is 5-2.
Well, they got the 7-game stretch up to Thanksgiving.
Okay.
That's 7 games. If they go 5-2 in those 7 games, that'll be a miracle.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And we're talking Ravens, Chargers, Vikings,
yeah. Steelers,
Browns, and Steelers.
Okay, if they can win 5,
that's a miracle.
That is 5 games.
Yeah. So then you have the Colts and the Lions in the same week.
Right. So you have to win 3 of the next 5. Is basically what it boils down to, right?
Mm.
Yeah.
If you can win 3 of the next 5.
Yeah, I mean,
if you can go 3-2, that means you're 6-3 after 9.
Baltimore is going to be a tough game. I don't see them winning that game.
I think they just made our job as prognosticators
going on the road
that much easier.
Well, yeah, they want us to pick against them anyway.
That's true. Well, you know what?
You know,
they're going to get.
So we're going to do our job for them.
They're going to get their wish, and we're going
to
do their job for them. And
then
they're
we have
use
to go
all
to San
of our
Diego.
Predictions up on the bulletin board again, starting next week.
Three of those 5 games, Eric, are on the road too.
Yeah, I know. This is the toughest stretch of the season coming up.
It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
And the and most of them are on the road.
All right. Let me get to a couple of emails here because we got a ton to get to. Then we got to get a break because I know you have writing to go do today.
A little bit. We have to figure out.
Eric has a few odds and ends he needs to.
Got a few things to do.
Yeah.
All right. Let me get to a few of these here. This one comes from our friend Howard in Connecticut. It says Mike Mayock of NFL Network stated the following: Tate is one of the fastest players in the game, can blow the top off zone coverages, opening up the underneath for others. So let's just hold off on the Pats no longer having a deep threat. Right now it's potential, but the fact is the potential is still on the team. Contrary to the opinions of most of the other armchair GMs that are running around like chickens with their heads chopped off. As for explaining it to the other 52, listening to Teddy Bruschi and Troy Brown's comments, it sounds like there are many in the locker room who will be happy that this happened. As for the value, Peter King has commented that he would have been happy with the deal if it was a 2 instead of a 3. But he said there were no GMs out there that would have given a 2 for an aging 33-year-old wide receiver. I have to believe he's connected enough to know this. Okay.
That was Mike Mayock?
This was Peter King saying that.
But was that Mike Mayock quoting Peter King? Or was that,
no, that
two
was
different
Peter
parts
King,
of the email?
Peter King saying that.
Yeah, because originally you said Mike Mayock, so I wasn't sure.
He said the first thing.
And then the emailer added the second part
and
about Peter King?
He added the second part from Peter King.
Okay.
Talking about, you know, wouldn't have been happy if it had been a 2. As for the big picture, as if you just stated they don't have the personnel on D to compete and make the playoffs, then why the uproar over losing Randy Moss? Randy isn't the difference. Then that makes them a playoff-caliber team. To suggest so belies the facts. One touchdown a game isn't the difference between them going to the playoffs or not this year. I would disagree with that. Improvements on D. Brace has improved over last year. Spikes is an improvement over last year, even as a rookie. Mayo has improved over last year. Chung has improved over last year. McCourtney is an improvement over Butler last year and this year. Banta Kane a push. Will Fork a push. Gerard Warren a downgrade because of Ty Warren's injury. Sanders is a push. Ninkovich an unknown still, but if he continues like the last game, he's an upgrade. Cunningham is still an unknown. Arrington is a push to Butler. Merriweather is a downgrade because of his regression. Edelman will be a downgrade. Great on kick returning to Tate, but is still way above average and has shown it last year. I completely understand the negative attitudes about the trade, but we have seen this before with Malloy. As for Brady's remaining time, it's 4 more seasons after this. That is eternity in football years, more than enough time to watch all these young players mature and grow around him. As for no one to throw to, stop the insanity. Walker, Edelman, Tate, Price, Slater, Hernandez, Gronkowski, Crumpler, Morris, Woodhead, there are more than enough targets. And for the record, the reason they lost the Jet game this year was because Brady was baited by the Jets into throwing to Moss exclusively in the second half. The Jets said so much after the game. To answer your question, yes, in Bill I Trust, he is perfect. Oh, no, in Bill I Trust, is he perfect? Far from it. But he is a heck of a lot better than what else is out there. Problem is the fans around here have become spoiled with the success of the past 10 days. I think I've said that from day one, Howard. You know what? That's a well-thought-out email. He's hit on all of the points that we've talked about here. The only thing that, you know, I guess in theory that I really disagree with, looking at it on paper, no GMs out there that would have given a 2 for an aging 33-year-old wide receiver. The option then would have been to keep Moss. And then you still have a deep threat to your offense.
I really want to know.
You cannot say, Howard, and you've presented some very good points, you cannot say this team is better. What you've done still is whatever small chance you might have had to still win and be competitive this year, as of right now, and again, we don't know what will happen 10 weeks from now. Maybe this team rallies. But as of right now, this team is not better today than it was yesterday.
Nope.
You can't argue any other way. It is not a better team.
I really want to know what led to this. I really want to know the incidents, and
clearly,
it's got to be plural.
It
can't just be one. It's got to be plural. What are the incidents that led to this?
It had to be a combination of several things. It had to be a combination of several things.
Because that's the only way we're going to be able to judge with any accuracy whether or not it was better to keep him or let him go. You know? What his cost-benefit ratio. We're not going to know, though, so it's unfortunate.
John in South Carolina says, doing your job means do what you're supposed to be doing on that play. They have always lusted after players who can do more than one thing. Talking about picking up the slack
yeah,
in regard to, you know,
I know,
Moss. That may very well be the case.
But all I'm telling you is the Patriots have made it a lot easier to game plan against a potentially explosive offense because they no longer have to double a receiver. And if they choose to double anybody, they're going to double a guy who's still playing on a leg and a half.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying here. You can't argue
at least
that
for the
that
time
makes
being.
You a better team.
Right.
For the time being, that's what you're going to see. And so you're going to be relying on largely unproven commodities, whereas Moss in the past has been a proven commodity. And when you weigh everything equally, the Patriots decided not to put up with Randy Moss and or his antics, as opposed to still having Moss either as a target or as a threat of being a target.
I'm going to make one last point before I go upstairs. People talk a lot about how much of a factor Aaron Hernandez has been in this offense early on,
right,
after four games. Every time he has talked, Hernandez,
right,
either after a game or during the week leading up to a game, he's been asked about the big plays that he's made, the big chunks of yardage he's been able to get. Every time he's been asked that question, his response has always begun and ended with, it's all because of Randy Moss. Randy stretches the field, brings the corners and safeties farther away, so whenever my number is called on those plays, I know I'm going to be open because Randy does that to defenses. Look up the quotes. He has said it more than once in these first four games of the season. He has credited Moss with his production. Let's see how good he produces without Moss in this offense.
Is Nick from Wilmington still on the hotline? All right, Nick from Wilmington on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Nick, hello.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, Nick. Good.
Oh, man, I listen to y'all show a lot. Y'all do a great job about breaking everything down. Some big things I was looking at, though, was we need to focus on our postseason. We usually always have a good or a regular season. Matt Castle jumped in there when Brady was hurt. You know, we did a good job getting him ready with our offensive coordinator, who's now a head coach now. Our offense didn't win the game in week four. Our defense really didn't get to face a good QB to prove themselves yet. And we don't really know what happened internally with the whole Moss situation, but regardless of what happened in the locker room behind the doors, that doesn't matter. You don't trade them for a third-round pick. Let them rant the whole time. I mean, look at T.O., look at Ocho Cinco. Their job is to spread the D to the receivers. Their job is their spread D receivers, you know, to spread the defense. And all three receivers, they're top five list: Randy, Ocho Cinco, T.O. And any given game, these guys will get, you know, one or two huge catches, or they don't get any at all, but they double – end up getting doubled or, you know, freeing up some other receivers. So I say, you know, let Randy get mad, you know, rant all the time, you know, pay him some money, let him keep his job. Because when he gets to Minnesota, he's going to be doing the same thing, spreading the defense, and, you know, he's going to let some other guys, you know, get a couple of good grabs or easier grabs. And he might get a couple of grabs, you know, if they blow the coverage or, you know, vice versa.
Okay. Okay.
The thing about that is Minnesota struggled on an offense because Brett Favre has nobody to throw the ball to other than Cinco right now.
Well, that's true.
I mean, Harvin's had the concussion problems,
yeah.
Has been either inactive or ineffective.
Bernard
Berrien's been awful.
That's why I'm, you know, getting just a three puzzles me because, you know, clearly the Vikings needed him worse than the Patriots, plus the fact that you got to face the Vikings later this year. Why don't the Patriots look at this as, well, look, we still got to play you guys. You really want this guy. We know you really need him. You're going to have to cough up more than a three.
Yeah, oh, John, I don't know. That Vikings game looms even larger than it did, way larger than it did even earlier this season.
Oh, it's going to be a three-ring circus.
Oh, my God.
The whole week it'll be a three-ring circus around here. Whole week. All right, you got to get off to writing.
Yeah,
thanks.
I've got to get upstairs, but we'll talk tomorrow.
Yes, sir. We'll be here.
There'll be more to talk about, I'm sure.
There'll be a few things to talk about, I'm sure. All right, let's get a break in here. And on the other side, we're going to get to emails, I promise. Webradio@patriots.com. Got a bunch of them still coming through the inbox. You can also Facebook as well. Ace Ticket Hotline still open at 508-543-7482. And Andy Kent, who is the AFC East blogger for AOLFanHouse.com, will join us coming up in the playbook.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network. All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst. Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, How many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's gotta be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian, you can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details. You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
What will that be on?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Welcome back inside Patriots Playbook in hour number two here on a Nitpick Wednesday. It's not a Tuesday, I know. But the obvious nitpick is over the Patriots trade with the team. I had some nitpicks. I'm not sure it's even worth getting into now. Fact is, the Patriots had a magnificent game on Monday night. Totally blew me away. I'm sure blew most of you away with their performance. Whether or not it was because they had a huge chip on their shoulder, as some of the post-game comments seem to have suggested, okay, great. Whatever it takes to motivate them. They're going to get a heck of a lot more bulletin board material after this, you know, Randy Moss deal now. Because frankly, I just don't see where this makes them better in the short term. It's an easier game plan for Baltimore. It's an easier game plan for Minnesota. I mean, frankly, I thought Minnesota was probably a win for the Patriots in here. Now, I don't know. Patrick Chung had an unbelievable game on Monday night. Blocked a second half punt, blocked a field goal, blocked the punt to give the Patriots a first down to the Miami 15, set up the 12-yard touchdown run by Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis, who also had another good night. You know, one of the things I was going to say today, and I might as well say it now, I mean, Green-Ellis is starting to make a believer out of me. I wasn't sure he could be an every down back. Two games in a row now, he's kind of done the job. The offensive line is blocking well for him. Is he the prototypical back? Is he the kind of the back that the Patriots really, in theory, would like to have back there? No.
But he is what they have right now. And at least for now, guy's getting 70, 75 yards a game. Last time I looked, an average of 70 to 75 yards a game makes you a 1,000-yard rusher, you know, over the course of an entire season. So I'd have to say, hey, you know what? Slowly and most assuredly, I'm becoming a believer in Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis. Again, he's what you've got. You don't really have anything else in terms of an every-down back. But here's an example of one guy who is doing his job and who is picking up the slack on offense. Patrick Chung is another. Blocked that field goal in the fourth quarter. Kyle Arrington returned it for the touchdown. Here's another guy who's doing his job, even though he got burnt on the touchdown in the first half. Brandon Tate, his second kickoff return of 2010 for a touchdown. Another guy doing his job. Do we even need to mention Tom Brady winning his 100th career game faster than any other quarterback in modern NFL history in the Super Bowl era since 1966? Yep. 100 wins in 131 games, faster than even Joe Bleepin' Montana. I mean, some good things, really good things out of Monday night's win. And they're all pushed under the carpet right now. They're all shoved under the rug because of this particular player personnel move that transpired today. And, of course, the obvious one, the fact that the Patriots set an NFL first on Monday night, becoming the first team in the 90-plus, 92-year history of the National Football League. This is amazing. The first team in the history of the NFL to score a rushing touchdown, a receiving touchdown, a kickoff return for a touchdown, a blocked field goal for a touchdown, and an interception for a touchdown. All five of those in the same game. No other team. In the thousands of games that have been played, no other team has ever done that before. But we're not talking about that today. We're talking about Randy Moss. And we're talking about Moss no longer being a Patriot, whether you like it, whether you don't like it, whether you feel like it was a good deal, whether you feel like it was a bad deal. Did they get enough in return? Did they get too much in return? Because the way that I seem that the callers are starting and the emailers are starting to go here as we've, you know, gotten now into the second hour of the program today and all through PFW and, you know, the Pete Shepard show is going to come up from 4 until 6 o'clock today as well, immediately following this program. So we're going to keep the dialogue going right here on Patriots.com radio for you today. But it seems like the tide is slowly turning. And so I'm sensing, as I just asked with Eric Scalavino of PFW, in Bill, do you still trust after all of this? And we ask this question probably once or twice a season. Over the course of the last 6-7 years, actually, I would say baloney to that. This is the 10th year that we've done Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com radio. This is the 11th year overall for radio programming on Patriots.com. Our 10th year to do this program in particular, and every year we ask the question at some point in time over the course of the season, we ask the question, and Bill, do you still trust? And it seems to me that over time, especially here later in the year, that trust has begun to wane, that it chips away, and yet I'm starting to see a little bit of a groundswell in sentiment for Bill and for the Patriots in making this move. So clearly tells me that we've got polar ends here. Some of you still hate the move. Some of you still trust in the Patriots and or Bill Belichick to make the right moves. Well, let's see if we can get a little bit more perspective on this. Andy Kent, who we visited with a week ago from Dolphins.com, and he also, as we told you about at the time, doubles as the AFL East beat writer and blogger for AOL Fan House, and he joins us back here inside
AFL,
the
AFL, John.
What did I say, AFL?
AFL, it's AFC.
Did I say that? Well, I meant AFC. So I'm just showing my age.
Shut up, Kevin. We're all angry.
Yeah, well, shut up, Kevin. I'm showing my age here. Andy, how's it going today?
great. You just showed my age, too, the AFL thing. So I'm like, wow, I've been doing this for a while, but I didn't think I'd be doing it that long.
No, I know. It seems like we've all been doing it for a while. You know, I would ask you, you know, in the aftermath of the game on Monday, you know what the thought process is in Miami, but I got to ask you, considering that the Patriots have made this blockbuster move today, you know, what's the initial reaction, certainly from let's start with a divisional team in Miami, especially since, you know, they held, you know, partially responsible for holding Moss without a catch on Monday.
Well, I can do you one better and give you the reaction of the cornerback who was mostly responsible for holding him without a catch on Monday night, Vontae Davis.
Go.
Second year guy who, right. who had a pretty good rapport last year with Moss. You know, Moss kind of liked the way this kid played, and they had a lot of chatter going back and forth during the game.
All right.
Vontae, I mean, his first reaction was kind of wiped his forehead and said, well, good, that's one less problem I have to worry about for the regular season finale in January. But, you know, I mean, he was also still kind of looking forward to kind of developing a rivalry with Moss, so he was a little surprised. But when we asked him about some of his exchanges with Randy during the game, when you think about it now, after the game, it's almost like he was dropping some hints. You know, he said Randy kept telling him after the first quarter without a catch, got three more quarters to go, Vontae, two more quarters, one more quarter. And as I'm hearing him say this, I'm like, maybe Randy was saying I got three more quarters, two more quarters, one more quarter to go as a Patriot. And he knew he was out the door. Because he certainly, you know, I mean, obviously he was frustrated about not catching a pass that game, but you know, he seemed to be having fun with Vontae at the same time.
Sure. That's kind of interesting because, you know, I'm sure you've probably seen the report today as well that there was an alleged shouting match between he and Patriots quarterbacks coach Bill O'Brien at halftime, wondering perhaps if maybe the fact that he didn't have a catch or the one time it was thrown to him in the end zone, he couldn't reel it in. You remember on the fake spike play, the old Dan Marino play.
and Marino was on the sidelines for that night too.
Exactly, yeah. He was one of the honorary captains before the game, right? And so yep. I thought that was a great touch. It was too bad they couldn't complete it, but maybe somebody in the locker room said, hey, you know, Randy, you got to catch the thing. He got both hands on the ball. Now, granted, it wasn't the best thrown pass that Brady had, but you still got to get it. And maybe he blew up, and that's what started the whole thing. We're surmising that this could have been part of the reason behind the, you know, there was a blow up at halftime. But it's interesting you're giving us Vontae Davis's response, because it does, in a sense, make sense to sort of think that, well, maybe he knew something was coming.
Well, and also another interesting response when I asked Vontae specifically about that one target, one play that he was targeted. And he said Randy looked at him afterwards and said, and this is obviously a little backhanded shot at Brady, he looked at Vontae and he said, you know, if that ball wasn't so wobbly, I would have caught that.
Ah.
so a little ding at his quarterback there. Saying, you know, Vontae was all happy about, I just shut you out for a whole half. Yeah. Randy was kind of hinting, well, it wouldn't have been a shutout if the ball was thrown right.
Wow.
So, well, I think he was just burning as many bridges as he can on the way out the door.
And I think we've known that unfortunately, that's sort of Randy's modus operandi. So, you know, the Patriots now clearly, for what it's worth, whether or not this is a big picture view or a more immediate view, this team still is not better than what it was yesterday. So from a divisional perspective, when the AFC East, how do you think that this plays through with the Jets, with the Dolphins for the long term, since you got to play them, you know, the Patriots again this year? Clearly it means that you don't have to worry about doubling Randy Moss any longer, and I wonder if that means you know, they give their attention to somebody like Wes Walker and force somebody else to beat him.
Well, that's exactly what you think is going to happen. I mean, it changes everything, and it's just like the Dolphins with Brandon Marshall. And Sperano thought about what the Patriots were doing in the first half to keep Marshall without a catch and trying to force the Dolphins to beat him with somebody else, and they were actually, you know, doing okay with Devon Best. Now, the Dolphins, the Jets, any other team going up against the Patriots, he said they don't have to worry about number 81, and I don't think anybody's going to argue the fact that, I mean, Wes Walker's a great receiver, but a lot of those receptions are as a result of the fact that people are worried about 81 on the other side of the field, and they're leaving the middle open for him. Now, he's going to have a lot more double coverage on him, and I guess what Brandon Tate would be the next guy that you'd have to target. And without Moss in there, it just allows defenses to have a little bit of a more safe scheme against these guys. They don't have to kind of scheme against one player.
That's why, you know, I've had some fans, and I have some pretty good emails today from fans and even a few phone calls from fans today that basically understand why this move was made, that clearly Moss was becoming more and more of a cancer every day, and they're taking obviously the Patriots side of it and Belichick's side of it, and that, you know, well, I'm still not sold, and I'm paraphrasing a lot of them here, by saying that they're not sold that this team is appreciably worse, especially with the fact since Moss didn't catch a ball on Monday night and the team still won 41-14. That being said, they also don't have the threat of Randy Moss defensively, right, to stretch a defense out. And then someone wrote in and said, well, they do have Brandon Tate, and he's faster. He's a 4-3 40, but he's an unproven commodity. And if I'm a defense with any smarts at all, I'm going to make the guy beat me before I give him the benefit of the doubt with a double team.
Yeah, that happens on every side of the ball. I mean, it's the same thing defensively. You know, I mean, last year on the defensive side of the ball, teams had no problem testing Vontae Davis. He was a rookie, an unproven rookie. Now this year you're seeing teams go away from him because he started to prove that he's a pretty darn good quarterback. So you're right. That same thing's going to have to happen with Tate. And you look back at that game, and obviously, yes, they won 41-14, but they only had one true touchdown drive that was not prefaced by a turnover, a blocked field goal, or a blocked punt. So, you know, 187 passing yards for Tom, no catches by Moss, I'm sure doesn't get everybody greatly excited. But, you know, on the flip side, I'm sure some of your diehard Patriots fans who are going to support the organization are going to pull up the fact that, look, you guys won three Super Bowls without Moss.
Right.
And before he even came there, and you haven't won one with him. So maybe they are better off without him.
Well, the time is obviously going to tell with that. Again, Andy Kent from AOLFanHouse.com covers the AFC East beat, also with Dolphins.com joining us here in Patriots Playbook. Do you get a sense from talking with anybody else from around the country that others are sort of incredulous as to why the Patriots not only would make this move, but why they would, you know, only settle or, in effect, settle with a third-round draft choice for sending off a potential Hall of Fame receiver?
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously the news is still so fresh, and a lot of it was breaking while we were going in to Dolphins practice and Dolphins locker room and dealing with the issues here. So I really haven't had as much a chance to talk to too many people outside of South Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the people I have talked to, it's kind of mixed. I mean, some are not surprised because, like you said, he's been kind of making waves since training camp, being upset that he hasn't been paid while everybody else, while Tom was getting paid and everybody else was being taken care of. So I don't think there was a great surprise there, but the timing of it, I mean, you're 3-1 going into a bye, you're in a tight division race with the Jets and the Dolphins, and do you really want to shake up the offense that well, that much at this point in the season? That people are going to question that move, you know, while you're thinking about it, but a lot to look at. I mean, third round pick, what they got him for a fourth round pick.
Yeah.
So they actually got a better pick trading him than they had to give up to get him. So I don't think they're hurting from that perspective. But how it's going to impact the offensive game plan from here on out, I don't think anybody can deny that there's going to be a lot of changes that are going to have to be made in order to allow Welker and Tate to be productive.
How often do you think that the issue of locker room serenity really comes into play? I mean, you cover a team on a day-in and day-out basis. Is that really an important makeup of the chemistry of a team, or is it overblown in your estimation?
No, I don't think it's overblown. I think it really is. I think it really is a big makeup. I mean, this is my fourth season covering these guys and the third under this Sperano regime, and at least the one steady, consistent thing they've preached and they've been able to kind of brag about over these 3 years is the chemistry, and everybody's on the same page, and if there were players that were kind of bucking the system, a la Joey Porter, you know, they're not going to hang on to him too much longer. They want everybody in there together, so when something does happen, whether it's a loss like the Dolphins suffered Monday night or what's going on in New England right now, you want to know that everybody in that locker room is going to be able to respond the same way, and you're not going to have to deal with two camps and, all right, these guys are going to be okay, but these guys apparently have lost it. You know, it's a nightmare for a coach, so I don't think it's overblown. I think you see teams that have been winning these last few years are the teams that really were able to avoid the controversy and avoid the bad chemistry in the locker room.
And perhaps even more of a reason why the Patriots decided to make the move now, as opposed to waiting, you know, for the Moss situation to continue to be a story and to take focus away from play on the field. Again, in theory, I understand that. I just don't see where subtraction makes addition in a football sense. And again, because the Patriots are so closed vest on everything, they don't tell us really anything. I mean, heck, we work in the same building. I work right down the hallway from these guys, and they don't tell us anything. So it's very difficult for us to understand what the thought process is when they play everything so close to the vest. But from a pure football standpoint, there's no way, absolutely no way, that this really improves the football team's fortunes on the field. Off the field? Sure. I guess I could buy that if things are as bad as we're led potentially to believe that they're bad. But again, we don't get any confirmation from this. Randy, Tom Brady went out of his way a couple of weeks ago, you know, when Randy had his diatribe after the Cincinnati game. And Tom Brady went out of his way to speak nicely and say great things and effuse just absolute, you know, effervescence. Effuse effervescence. Is that being redundant? About Randy after the game.
You make me break out the dictionary here now?
I know. I'm going to have to. Well, you know how it is in stupid talk shows. You can never come up with a word that you want right at the moment that you're looking for.
Yes. It must be Italian.
Fragile. So I guess, you know, this is why I'm having a hard time, and a lot of people are having a hard time getting their hands around this, Andy, just because, you know, all right, does this piss Brady off? Does this make it, you know, it gives him one less target to go to, makes his job that much tougher? I mean, we still look at a defense that's fragile at best. Yeah, we got great special teams play, but are you going to get, you know, a touchdown from the special teams every game for the course of the next 12 weeks? And, of course, the answer to that is no, probably you're not. This team potentially mortgaged the present for the future when they traded away Richard Seymour a couple of years ago. And that yet has not paid dividends, and we won't ultimately know about it paying dividends at least until this next April when the Patriots finally get a chance to select that pick that they received from Oakland in return. When does the present enter into the equation is when, I guess that's got to be the ultimate question being asked here of the Patriots.
Well, and I'll tell you what, just when we come up to New England for that last regular season game, you and I need to sit down and have a nice dinner and talk about that situation, because
no kidding,
this organization is identical to the Patriots. We don't know anything. And like you, I work in the same building right across the practice field from them, and it is as close to the vest as you can get with everything. And you can only go on what you see in practice, what you're observing in the locker room, and talking to everybody else around the team to try to get an opinion. And I got to agree with you. I mean, yeah, if it was clear, and obviously these reports about the outburst are accurate, that he had finally boiled over and now this was just heading down a road that the Patriots did not want to go down, then yes, it makes sense to get rid of the cancer now. But without a plan B, you know, without even thinking, okay, we can go out and get a similar type receiver, or without knowing that you have somebody on that roster that can do his role, it does bring into question, what did you just do to the rest of the season? There's 12 games left. You're coming out of a bye, and you're technically in second place in the division because the Jets are unbeaten in the division.
Right.
What does that mean now? How are you going to go forward? And I know what you're dealing with. I'm sure Bill's not going to sit there and tell you, well, here's our plan.
No,
we're trading for this guy next week.
Right, right.
That's not going to happen.
No, and I understand that. We realize what universe we operate in. It just makes it a little bit tougher, and this is why, you know, the team leaves itself open to, you know, arguments like this, because they're not forthcoming with why they do things the way they do. I'd be remiss, Andy, before we let you go, on the post-game thoughts of the Dolphins after this, you know, rather shockingly one-sided result on Monday night. Frankly, it blew all of us away here, and I'm certain that it probably was the same way in the Dolphins locker room after the game.
Well, yeah, it was. I mean, that's just one of those games that come around once a decade. I mean, I was chatting with all the Dolphins beat writers, and this is my fourth season with the team, but I have covered the team on and off for about 10 years, and we were all trying to think about when was the last time we saw a game unravel like that so fast, and the only one that came to mind was the 62-7 loss to Jacksonville in the playoffs, Dan Marino and Jimmy Johnson's last game.
Mm-hmm.
And I even talked to Sam Madison, who was in that game, and he was like, you know, the thing with that one was at least that one, he said, unraveled, like, right away. I mean, in the first quarter, this one, it's 7-6 at the half, and in the, at the first quarter, the Dolphins were moving the ball up and down, and the Patriots, it looked like it was going to be a close game and that they would probably pull it out. And, you know, 103-yard kickoff return, block punt, block field goal, interceptions, and it's like, what the heck just happened? And clearly, yesterday morning, we show up to Serrano's press conference, and he's firing John Bonamigo, his special teams coordinator, who was also, they were, those two were like boyhood friends, and, I mean, best of friends. So, I mean, that had to be a hard decision for him, but clearly, that was what everybody's pointing at, is, okay, we can't, we got to fix special teams and not let that happen again.
Well, I got to wonder, though, if that had to mean something that had to be in the works over a while, because as you just said, they've been friends for such a long time. Was that a sacrificial firing?
No, it was, you know, because the previous week the Jets blocked the punt. They also had two blocked in the preseason. They had some problems a little bit last year. I mean, save for the Ted Ginn game against the Jets where he single-handedly beat him with two kickoff returns. It's kind of been building, and to be honest with you, I think probably the reason that it didn't happen sooner is because those were boyhood friends, and he was defending his friend until the end, and I think that just kind of pushed it over the edge, and Jeff Ireland and Bill Parcells said, look, Tony, I know he's your friend, but this, we can't wait until the end of the season on this. We have to do something, or our season's going to go down the drain.
So now you got a former Rhode Island Ram and Darren Rizzi who's going to try to shore up the special teams.
Well, unfortunately, another guy who Serrano's familiar with, Rizzi was on Serrano's staff at New Haven, 94 to 97.
Right.
And so, but this is, yeah, I mean, last year was his first season in the NFL, but apparently he's a high-energy guy, and they trust the system, and if something like that, you couldn't bring in somebody from the outside. You had to bring in somebody that knew the players and the players are comfortable with, and now he's just got to try to fix whatever they've been, you know, take some of that stuff off film that's out there now, because, I mean, Patrick Chung was pretty honest after the game and said that we drew it up exactly like we saw on film. That move, that loop move to the inside was there, and it was there for the field goal as well. And so you can't have that happen in Green Bay or any of the other stops Miami's going to make.
All right. Andy, thanks for again a little bit of time today. We sure appreciate it. And you're right. We'll try to hook up when you guys come back up this way. And my guess would be the week prior to the game, we'll also hook up at least on the air again. And maybe by then we can all look back at this and say, now we know why the Patriots got rid of Moss. Or we can say, why the hell did they get rid of Moss? One or the
other.
Exactly.
We'll see that happen at the end. Yeah, my pleasure, guys. Anytime you want me to come back on, I'd be glad to.
Good. I appreciate that. Thank you, Andy.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Yep. Andy Kant, again, who covers the AFC East for AOL Fanhouse, also covers the Dolphins for Dolphins.com, joining us here inside the playbook. All right, we've got so many emails to get to. I've got to get to some of them because so many of you have written taken the time to write today. I'm going to get to as many of them as I possibly can over the course of the next 20 minutes or so, and then I will leave the remainder for Mr. Shepard from 4 until 6 tonight because there are a lot to get to. A lot of them will probably be of an older variety. A lot of them then will also probably be somewhat repetitive in nature. So you'll forgive me if some of them are repetitive. I'm going to do my best attempt here to sort of weed through some of them. And if they deal with similar subjects or similar comments, I may just sort of move on with all due respect. Trust me when I say this. Your emails are read. And I say this really before every season. And I say this usually several times during the course of the season. Even if your email is not read on the show, it is read off air and considered. And a lot of you give us great ideas for not only future topics, but you bring a good point or you bring a good argument into the equation, like my friend Howard from Connecticut, who earlier today was talking about how the Pats no longer have a deep threat and saying that Peter King was talking about how, you know, hey, no one was going to give a two for an aging 33-year-old wide receiver. Okay, you know what? These are all good arguments. And I appreciate sometimes sanity, for lack of a better phrase, coming back into the argument and entering into our equation and our discussion here inside Patriots Playbook. That's all good. Because, as we all know, you know, emotion is what makes this, you know, baton turn here. It's what makes it, it's what gets you to log on to the program. It's what gets us going here on the program. Without emotion and without involvement in what this team does on and now off of the field, well, then we don't really have much of a show, do we? So that's why we want the emotion. We want all sides of the argument.
There is no right. There is no wrong answer. There is no good. There is no bad opinion.
And if there's a bad, I'll blow you up. Don't worry.
Kevin will take it upon himself to blow you up. But I'm, you know, seriously, Howard wrote a great email talking about, you know, the Patriots players who have improved incrementally on defense over a year ago. You know, some of them I don't agree with, but let's just face it. He brings up some valid points. So I'm happy to share them with you. This comes from Fitz in Bath, Maine, who says, John, if we use the analogy of a poker game, one, Bill has been playing poker with house money. And he hasn't cashed in the big win. Number two, this hand, Bill has decided to take a new card, putting down an ace. But the new card is for a later hand. And number three, the table is full of good players who are getting better at playing poker with Bill. Number four, Bill is still a great poker player. Can his bluff take the knight in the end? Okay, decent analogy. Decent analogy. I'll agree with a couple of them, but yeah, it's a decent analogy. Here we go. Chris in Seattle says, I was so excited about the win. We actually squished the fish. Outstanding. It made me actually happy that our bye is this week. What a great boost to head into the bye and game plan for the Ravens. But this Randy thing has totally knocked the wind out of the sails. I believe we will very quickly see how much he meant to our team. What's Brady got to be thinking today? I think Randy himself said it best. He takes the top off the defense. That was huge. So, yeah, I'm pretty damn deflated. That said, I've still got to trust Bill. Without his organization, game planning, personnel expertise, and competitive nature, the last decade would have been considerably less fun. He says, PSO, and I appreciate your acknowledgement of Ben Jarvis. Absolutely, I have to. I mean, if I'm going to slam a guy when a guy stinks, like I have with Darius Butler, you know, a guy that, you know, I haven't exactly been, you know, effusive in my praise. I've used that word twice now on this program, effusive. So I guess the statute of limitations is now out on that word. Make note of that, Kev.
You know I don't speak Spanish. In English, please.
Okay. But, you know, it's true. I didn't think he was a prototypical every down back. And even though he is really all the Patriots have at this stage of the game, you know, he's rushed for better than 70 yards the last 2 weeks since basically being handed, you know, the de facto full-time tailback job. So I got no complaints with the way he's played thus far. None. Zero. He's not the concern for this Patriots offense right now. Although you might see it a little bit tough for him to run because it stands to reason now because you have not as much of a stretch it out threat defensively or against the opposing defense. You could see this team, you know, kind of, you know, stack the box a little bit. I mean, you could. That's conceivable. Gordon says, John, is it possible that there is a three-way trade that has not been worked out or announced? Gordon, it's possible. I just say it's unlikely. I mentioned earlier in the program, and I will reiterate it here, as we talked about with Eric Scalavino earlier, that this entire escapade makes great sense to me. If you were to take this third-round pick or one of the picks in the, you know, rounds 2, 3, and 4, and coupled that with Logan Mankins, let's say, and shipped them off to San Diego for the rights to Vincent Jackson, that would make great sense to me. In fact, I think what you would have is a unanimous approval from all of Patriots fandom. When I first heard about the trade, my first reaction was, what did they get in return? I'm thinking, wow, if they got another one, like they got for Richard Seymour, I'm thinking, okay, I'll buy it. I don't like it, but I'll buy it. For a chance to get a one, that'd give them three first-round draft picks? That would be unprecedented. But we didn't get a one. We didn't get a two. We got a three. I just didn't think it was enough. Even with a 33-year-old receiver, I didn't think it was enough for a guy who's going to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame someday.
And we had to give up a pick, too. We gave up a seventh.
We gave up a seventh.
Which just doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make any sense.
But I think I'm not one of those people that believes there's another shoe to drop. I think this is what it is going to be for the rest of the season.
I do too. I hope I'm wrong, but I'd have to say that right now it certainly does not look like that.
Because it would have happened right away, I think.
I would think that they would have tried to turn it around as quickly as possible. I mean, what's the statute of limitation? What's the trade deadline? 2 weeks?
Yeah, I think it's like 10 days or something.
Yeah, 10
like
days?
That.
Okay. So,
but,
I mean.
But given the fact that this is the bye week, you want to get somebody in here.
Sure. Because you want to get them up to speed. And it makes perfect sense to do it this week if you can at all. Because then you have a week to, say, train a Vincent Jackson on the playbook. So I'm deflated. I'm disappointed, yes. Again, I understand the reasonings. I don't like them, but I understand them. So that leaves me overall with a deflated feeling, especially in light of what happened on Monday night.
It's just such an emotional roller coaster to go from the highest of highs thinking, all right, we're 3-1 going into the break.
Yeah. See, you know, we haven't even talked about that. We talked about early in the year, if they could get through the first four games at 2-2.
Yeah. Remember we said that and then we thought.
We'd be happy with that and they're right in the running. And they're on course and they'll be in contention. And this team is 3-1.
And we're complaining. Which is unbelievable.
Yeah.
But this is what that kind of move will do to you. I mean.
Chris in Irvine, California. Does the trade of Randy Moss free up other teams to move a safety up in the box to take away the run as well as make throwing underneath more difficult? I think I just alluded to that remark, Chris. Yeah, it means they could stack the box a little bit more and make it difficult for a guy like Ben Jarvis to find a little more running room, say, in the first 5 yards past the line of scrimmage.
That's another thing. Their offensive line and their running backs looked so good the other night.
They did.
So good.
You got to give great kudos to the offensive line. It certainly, to me, does not give a guy like Logan Mankins, you know, any credibility right now. I mean, the Patriots have adjusted without Logan Mankins. Is he still potentially your best all-around lineman? Yes. But are they making do without him? Yes.
I mean, I found myself going back and looking at the game over again the last 24 hours and just watching the line and nobody else. Yeah. And they were just manhandling people.
They did a great job.
Some of Ben Jarvis's runs where he would run into the line and fall down, and you think, oh, he got a yard, got 2 yards. He was getting 4 and 5 just because we were getting off the ball so well and pushing Miami's front four, you know, 5 yards down the field before there was contact.
That's true. He says, it seems to me if they no longer need to keep a safety deep to double Randy, it makes things a little more crowded in the middle. I think you're spot on with that analogy, Chris. And he says, out of curiosity, which deal would you make? The rumors from ESPN and FoxSports.com right now are Steve Smith for a second-round pick or Lee Evans for a fourth-round pick. And why?
Isn't Steve Smith hurt?
Yeah, I believe he is.
I'll have to look at it.
Well, I know that there's two Steve Smiths. One of them's hurt. Is he talking about Steve Smith from New York?
Must be, because I think the Carolina Steve Smith went out on a stretcher.
That's what I thought.
Saw.
Yeah. I thought maybe both of them were hurt. All right, we'd have to. I have to look. We'll see what we can find out for you. Kevin will look that up. In a perfect world, Steve Smith for a second or Lee Evans for a fourth. I'd go Lee Evans for a fourth. I think I'd go Lee Evans for a fourth because you're not giving up in theory as talented potentially a player in the fourth round. Is Lee Evans as good as a healthy Steve Smith? Maybe not, but he does have the ability to stretch a field. So, I mean, you're asking me, put a gun to my head, which move do I make? I probably go Lee Evans for a fourth. You know, and if that happens, okay. You know what? That takes a little bit more of the sting out of this deal. It doesn't make it right all the way, but it takes a little bit of the sting out of it, I think. Jamie says, John, so we trade the second-best wide receiver of all time for a third-rounder. Previous third-rounders, Tyrone McKenzie, practice squad. Kevin O'Connell, never took a snap on Jets IR. Sean Crable, first 2 years out of the league on IR and played 9 snaps against the Bills. David Thomas, traded away for a seventh. How can this give anyone confidence? How can this give me confidence? It's all about now, not next year. And I'm fed up with trading players, trading down, and so forth. I want to win now. I guess it's back to dink and dunk. Well, it could be back to dink and dunk. The problem is you just made it tougher to dink and dunk because now, as other emailers have suggested, you don't have a safety being taken deep. There's a safety that, in theory, isn't in double coverage on a guy like Randy Moss. Paul says, Randy Moss, this is Paul Where is he coming from? He doesn't say where he's writing from. Randy Moss with his frustrated press conference after a Cincinnati Bengal win, letting everyone know he felt unappreciated, and now he had an argument with the offensive coordinator during halftime of the Miami game, which they royally kicked butt in the second half. Plus, unmentioned Patriot players had problems with Moss. Rather than dealing with Moss and having him be a bad influence to the younger players, Patriots traded him before the trade deadline. Think they took the third-round pick because it was for 2011, rather than not trading him and letting him become a free agent at the end of the season and only getting compensatory in 2012. Yes, this much we know. We did say that earlier in the program. Technically, and again, the rules are sort of convoluted and can change, but technically, if he had gone all the way to the end of the year and become a UFA at the end of the year, based on his service time in the NFL at 10 years plus, the best you could have received was a fifth. And so because that's the best you could have received, and technically, the Patriots then made a smart move because they know they got a third for him now. Rather than potentially wait for him, have him be a potential cancer the rest of the year, and wait until the end of the year to get a fifth-round pick for him, and that's all you get for Randy Moss. All right, I understand that, and that does help justify the move a little more in my eyes now. If we see a future move made because of this as well, again, it'll justify it even further. Just doesn't soften the blow any when you think Hall of Fame wide receiver for a third round pick. It just doesn't soften the blow. Todd in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. How does this trade affect the wide receivers, tight ends, quarterbacks from Minnesota and New England? Well, Minnesota right now hadn't had a viable receiver all year. Part of the reason why they started out 1-2. Part of the reason why Brett Favre has more interceptions than touchdowns. Part of the reason why I'm sure he's wishing maybe that he had given a little bit more serious thought to actual retirement in the offseason rather than come back for another year. Percy Harvin's having all these headache problems too. They just don't have a dependable go-to guy that can stretch a defense. So, you know, here's a guy in Moss that Favre wanted desperately when he was still at Green Bay. And now he finally has a chance to throw to him. And he has a chance to stretch the field, and it's undoubtedly going to make Minnesota better, at least for the short term. But Minnesota also knows that they're basically playing on borrowed time anyway. That their window to win may be this year, and that might be it for the foreseeable future. So I can understand why a team like Minnesota would go out and actively seek a player like Randy Moss, as opposed to the Patriots, who... well, honestly, I mean, you know, how does it affect wide receivers, tight ends, quarterback? Well, Brady doesn't have the legitimate deep threat. He might have somebody with more speed than Brandon Tate, but, you know, Tate is not proven yet. Until you do it, you can't really say you can depend on somebody now, can you? Now, maybe he proves us all wrong. If he does, that's great. Then you know what? 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 10 weeks from now, we'll talk about that. But right now, this team is not better today than it was yesterday. That's just painfully obvious. Let me see here. A couple of them just coming in. Steve. Okay. Oh, he's sending a note saying that his email inbox has been hacked. Okay. Never mind. We'll just take care of that one. First of all, this one comes from Zach. And I don't know where Zach's writing from. He says, first of all, Randy Moss is the greatest receiver in the history of the game without equivocation. Well, I don't know if I'd go that far. I think maybe, you know, some guy named Rice probably stands to be up there as well. But the problem he has been so good that he's caused Brady to constantly look to Moss as the safety valve when Brady's best safety valve has been the depth in the number of targets he has, not in the abnormal skill of one player at the receiver position. Moss was great in 2007, but once teams started taking him out of the game, the team struggled. There's also the third-round pick versus the fifth-round compensatory. But here is the bigger contributor. Moss frees up about $9 million a year, given what his extension would likely have been. We're going to need that money to plug whatever you view as the most pressing needs on this team. Like it or not, receiver isn't one of them, even without Moss. Well, okay, let me stop right there. Yes, frees up money. But that money would have been there whether or not you've let him go now or if you kept him to the end of the year. If you weren't going to re-sign him, that money's still going to be there. The whole argument behind keeping Randy Moss here, Zach, is trying to make this year's version of the Patriots better. Because we know
that the only way that this team ultimately has success right now is literally by outscoring the opposition. You still have right now the number one scoring offense in the NFL. You just weakened that offense by taking Moss out of that equation. The argument to that in this program today has been, well, but the defense is improving. Okay. Granted, they had a better game Monday, but there are still plenty of holes, and the improvements were minuscule. This team had such a blowout win on Monday because the special teams were so dominant it caused the firing of a coach in Miami. That's why the team won, not because the defense dominated the Miami Dolphins. That did not happen. That did not happen. Got an over-under here from Chris who says, out of the Pats' 8 picks in the first 4 rounds that they have in 2011, the Pats will only select 5 players. You think, what's the over-under on that? Well, let's ask Pete Shepard. What's the over-under on you if they select 5 of those
what,
8?
What'd I miss? How long have I been out?
I know. But that's actually a pretty good question. All right, if the over-under is 5, do you say they pick more than that or fewer than that of those 8 picks in the first 4 rounds?
I stopped trying to figure out what this team will do in the draft a long time ago. You know, when they picked Lawrence Maroney, nobody thought about that. When they traded up to get Ben Watson, nobody thought that was going to happen either. I don't know. I'd be sitting there lying to you if I said I even had an inkling of what the draft. I'm just trying to get through today. Forget about April. The draft might be irrelevant then anyway if they don't get this collective bargaining agreement done. But
this is true.
It remains to be seen. It's what a hell of a day this is, huh? Glad our show got moved to Wednesday, huh?
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I think that's a smart move, just because, you know, we've got so much going on, and, I mean, it's just, the day almost defies description. It almost defies description.
Where were you last? Here's some. Where were you? Last I was around 8:32 when Fox first reported. I was watching.
Yeah, I was in my
office. I happened to be online when it broke.
Yeah, I was in my office doing homework, and, I got
algebra.
I've got the Florida State Miami game this Saturday.
Oh, I thought you were going to break down Texas defense.
No, I don't
against Oklahoma.
Do that.
No, I'm sorry. I hit a wrong nerve again.
No. I called it last. I called it last week. I said Oklahoma would win. So,
But I was floored when I saw it pop up on the screen. You know.
Well, my son comes yelling and he says, "Dad, they're reporting that Randy Moss is going to get traded tomorrow," and I'm like, "Really?" And so I go online, I take a look at it. And my first thought was, as I mentioned earlier in the show, I said, well, if they get a 1 for him like they got for Seymour, okay, I'll buy that. I mean, even if it's a future one, even if it's a 1 in 2012, fine.
But,
great, I don't care.
But no
fine.
Way, John, are they ever going to get a number 1 or a number 2 for a guy who's 33 years old.
Well,
I
understand that. And I understand the thinking behind that. But I still have a hard time overcoming the thought that you're looking at a Hall of Fame receiver who clearly is worth something in the open market to the point where Minnesota was desperate to get him.
I mean, I have a lot of thoughts I'm going to go through over the next 2 hours and take all the, you know, everybody's, but I got to believe, John, that this has got to be a very similar situation to what happened with the Red Sox and Manny Ramirez. Maybe not quite as severe, because there's a lot of stories out there about Manny that the public does not know about, that a lot of us in the media do know about, and he had to go. And I have to believe in my heart of hearts here that this had to be an extremely, extremely difficult decision for Bill Belichick. And whether it was just this last little ruckus with Coach O'Brien, whatever it was the frosting on the cake, whatever you want to say, the straw that broke the camel's back. I gotta believe there had to be a series of these little incidents that probably he just said, you know, enough is enough, because I'm sure this had to be an incredibly difficult decision for him. He's not a guy that's gonna do this kind of a thing off emotions. He's not that kind of a guy. So, I mean, I don't know the whole inside stories. A lot of guys around here who cover the team that have, you know, still, you know, there's bits and pieces. Mike Reese's, you know, you saw Mike Reese's piece come out about what happened. A lot of people didn't know about that until today. And that's just one little tidbit that we know about. So, you know, who knows what has been going on in that locker room? I mean, you hear all different stories. Some players are very happy that he's gone, or there's going to be a lot of relief in that locker room. No, but you're right. I mean, are they a better team? Let's put it this way. They are a less talented team today than they were yesterday. Now,
absolutely.
Does that mean they can't win? Absolutely. I mean, they certainly can win. I mean, but they are a less talented team today than they were yesterday. The question is it going to, in the long run, benefit this team, or even for, I'm talking just for this year, that Randy Moss isn't there? Is the chemistry going to be better on this team? That remains to be seen. But it's very similar to me as the Manny situation was with the Red Sox.
That's a pretty good analogy, actually. I just, I'm still sort of stunned by the whole thing happening.
Well, we were somewhat stunned when Manny got traded. And, yeah. You know, Jason Bay, remember, all, you know, Jason Bay can't do this or that, and then he ended up putting up better numbers than Manny. And look, that's not to say that the Patriots, are they going to struggle in offense? I really don't know. I don't know what to expect. I think they have a good enough offense to still go, have a very good season and win playoff games. I'm not going to sit there and hit the total panic button because this team, as most of, so many people predicted last Monday, I did not, but a lot of people thought they were going to lose, not only lose, but get killed in Miami, which I thought was absolutely preposterous that you could come to that conclusion because everybody wants to always seem, everybody's so trend happy in football, you know, whether you're, have jelly beans on the game, whatever. It's every single game, every single year is its different entity. You know, it's just, you can't go back and look at trends over the last, year, 2 years, 19 years. It doesn't matter. I think every game is a situation to me. So I try to approach it that way. So I mean, who knows what can happen? Is it going to be more difficult for this offense to score? I don't know. I mean, right off the bat, I'm glad they have a bye week this week. So I'm certainly glad they have a bye week this week. I wouldn't want them going up against the Baltimore Ravens defense coming up on Sunday with this kind of a situation, distracting situation going on.
You remember what happened in 2003 after Lawyer Malloy got canned,
exactly.
Right?
In fact, I wrote, of course, they lost 31-0. It was, obviously it affected the team. And of course, we all know what happened 15 weeks later when they beat the Bills 31-0 as
sure.
well. So
they did bounce back from it. Yeah. So I will leave everyone with this. I will tell you that the possibility exists, based on track record even now, that this team could find itself all right before this season is over. If several things have to happen. Number one, the slack has to be picked up. Okay. Everybody on the offensive end is going to have a little bit more now responsibility because Moss isn't there. You've still got to find a way to keep defenses honest, which means Brady is still going to have to go downfield. Even if it's Brandon Tate and even if you're throwing and the guy's side for, step for step with him, you still got to throw that deep ball to stretch a defense out.
Although they didn't do that Monday night. Now I know obviously the defense, the special teams had 3 touchdowns. We understand that. But Brady not once in that game threw a bomb. By the way, Henny didn't either. Which I thought was odd.
Yeah.
But not a quarterback threw a bomb in that game.
A
legitimate bomb in that game.
Well,
which I thought
the Patriots
rare.
Did a great job of taking Brandon Marshall out of the game in the first half.
They did.
Then in the second half, they just decided that because the way the game had turned, they were willing to allow Marshall some single coverage in return for not busting another big
That's
play
right.
elsewhere. And so they basically just sort of normalized the defense in the second half as opposed to taking Marshall out of it in the first half, which is what the Dolphins did to Moss.
Mm-hmm.
They took him out of it. Fine. Well, we'll beat you another way. And they obviously did that. They, Welker had 8 catches. Green Ellis had an opportunity to run.
Yep.
Hernandez had a good game
Phenomenal.
Again.
Yep.
And the special teams took over.
They did. And the question is, you saw Vontae Davis on Randy Moss, and that was a big draw, allowing obviously other people to be open. That's going to be the big question. Randy Moss is still an incredible deep threat. No doubt about it. I mean, will he be missed? Yeah. However, I've been around this team long enough to know that I'm not going to sit here and hit this massive panic button because Randy Moss isn't here and all of a sudden they're not going to win any more games. I refuse to believe it. I know that Bill Belichick, to make this decision, it had to be probably one of his most difficult he's ever had to make. And hopefully, I'm sure tomorrow he'll go on record. I thought we might have him here today, but he's not going to be able to make it, unfortunately. But for obviously the reasons you understand why.
Sure.
But I'm sure he's going to say that tomorrow. I'd be stunned if he doesn't. It had to be an extremely difficult decision to do this today, and it's a ballsy decision because it could blow up in their face.
Well, of course it could, and I think that's what we're all kind of waiting to see. And I would imagine at least by tomorrow we'll begin to get some answers, or at least one side of the story, because Moss, I'm sure, will probably open up to the Minnesota
meeting. The good news is Borges already has the team contracted to San Antonio, so it's all right. they're going. So the Patriots packing up tonight and moving to San Antonio, according to Ron Borges.
Okay, very good. All right, Pete Shepherd Show. is coming up next. Hey, we gonna...
I made that up, by the way.
Of course you did.
Well, you never know.
Well,
this
we
day
already
and age.
Have the great might... Borges quote from
oh, please.
This afternoon.
Did please.
You
say the Borges please. Quote? Yeah, yeah, of course. I read the whole article. It's just okay. I'm wasting my time to
okay.
read it.
All right.
Wasting my time.
Fair enough.
But I did waste my time to read it.
Tomorrow in the playbook, we have Jason Luckenfora from NFL Network and NFL.com.
Yep.
Obviously, Russell Baxter from ESPN.
Yep.
And is Tim Graham going to join us tomorrow as well?
He's going to try to join us.
Tim Graham.
Stack show tomorrow.
Right, from AFC East, blogger on ESPN.com. So, yes, we are stacked tomorrow. Heck of a deal for a bye week. But the problem is that, as I'm sure you're aware, Pete, all of these writers now are all scurrying to put their spin on the Patriots, you know, planting this bombshell of worth of news around the league. And so the Patriots now have themselves with two picks in each of the first four rounds in 2011. And is that enough in return for a future Hall of Fame receiver? You know, at least getting the extra third round pick.
Well, that remains to be seen. People were all up in arms about draft picks a while ago, and they ended up getting Moss and Welker because of the draft picks they acquired. So, you know, a lot of things can happen. A lot of things, people forget that. They always say, they look at the draft, and then they say, oh, they forget, and they, or forget to put into the equation that they got Moss and Welker with the draft picks that they acquired.
Right. All right, so again, tomorrow's show, Lockin Fora, Graham, and Russell Baxter, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, same Pat's time, same Pat's channel.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome on the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.